How to get faculty to do what you want.
John Fritz is Assistant Vice President of Instructional Technology and New Media at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
With apologies to faculty or IT colleagues who feel like my title is presumptuous or grounds for career suicide, I want to counter a trend I've noticed at a few instructional technology conferences and on email lists. The IT staff member as victim, or worse, as whiner. I can't get faculty to come to our workshops. Faculty don't want to teach online. Why would they listen to me? To be sure, there are real institutional issues behind each of these statements. But what also lies behind them is a subtle issue of confusion, or is it control, about who is responsible for integrating teaching, learning, and technology. Is it us? Is it them? Truth be told, it takes a village to transform learning with IT. But in my experience, some instructional technologists have to understand the timing, circumstances, and faculty motivations that create their unique brand of IT teaching moments. So, assuming our hearts and minds are pure, I'd like to propose three golden rules to get faculty to do what you want. Number one, most faculty teach the way they were taught, and most weren't taught with technology. Nobody wants to look silly in front of a class, but after years of formal education and being anointed as experts, how is it the faculty are expected to learn to use technology in their teaching if they weren't taught with it? In many cases, especially for early adopters, the reward of better teaching or learning may not seem worth the risks, knowing just enough to be dangerous or taking too much time away from their real jobs. A few years ago, one of our history faculty, Joe Tatarevich, gave a talk for our Brown Bag series called Night Sweats of a Geek Humanist Professor. One of our most savvy early adopters, Joe said he'd reached a point of wondering what the university really wanted him to be doing, mastering the latest instructional technology or professing his subject matter expertise in the history of science. Joe chose wisely and does not work in our IT department. But notice what's going on here. Faculty have to take time away from doing something familiar to do that which is not. Is that their job? Can instructional technologists make it easier? In order to reach the land of Oz, they have to leave Kansas. And that's hard. Through our hybrid course redesign program, we've learned faculty have to return to being students without being made to feel this is what's happening. We thought the key to doing so is a $1,500 stipend they receive for completing specific program requirements. But given the amount of work they put into getting ready, I think there's something else going on. While it may appear I'm making faculty do something I want, using technology in their teaching, I'm actually leveraging their innate interest in teaching well to fully experience the IT training we offer them as students. In other words, by reconnecting to their own learning styles and preferences, they experience hybrid learning as a student might. More importantly, I'm appealing to the curious, inquisitive nature of most faculty who will look at almost anything that purports to make a better connection with their students. But with all the options available to them, which ones will faculty entertain? This leads me to my second rule. Number two, most faculty learn best from other faculty, not instructional technology staff. Despite what we may like to think about our own teaching, which we call training, faculty don't learn best in a formal workshop, though we offer one to each of the faculty in our hybrid program to help them meet requirements for the one-time course development stipend. One key to the workshop, which is offered 6 to 9 months before the faculty will teach their first hybrid course, is that we always include a lunchtime presentation of these same deliverables from a previous cohort of faculty that has taken our workshop and taught a hybrid course. This is more important than the technology we demonstrate. This also sets the stage for the new faculty to see how they might approach their two deliverables they'll have to present a month or so after the workshop. This assignment is the same for all of the faculty who want the course development stipend. Give a brief 10-minute presentation about one assignment, learning object, or activity that students would experience if your hybrid course were to start tomorrow. Some presentations are better than others, but it almost doesn't matter. Because no matter who is presenting or how well they do so, when I look around the room, I can see their colleagues making mental notes of how they might or might not teach the way they were taught. To me, this reflection on pedagogy is, or should be, the real goal of any instructional technology support program. Once faculty become more aware of our pedagogy as IT trainers, or, ideally, their peers, the contrast with their own allows them to better see and make the changes that are necessary to teach in a way they've not learned in the past. No matter how persuasive or effective I might be as an instructional designer or technologist, there is no substitute for faculty hearing what works or doesn't from a peer, preferably in one's own discipline. As tempting as it may be for us to feature IT support staff telling faculty about this or that technology, we rarely do so because we want to shine light on the faculty who actually make it happen. Finally, we are trying to systematize this important peer mentor role by publishing our most active Blackboard courses. Since 2007, we've been developing and studying better reporting than is currently available in our Blackboard course management system. Specifically, using an average hits per user approach, we now publish and rank UMBC's most active Blackboard courses after the last day of classes every semester. By publishing the most active Blackboard courses reports, it is now possible for faculty to seek each other out about what works or doesn't in using Blackboard. Using these activity rankings, as well as annual user surveys where students are asked to identify one faculty member who uses Blackboard well and why, we have begun to identify exemplary faculty for short show-and-tell screencasts and effective practice interviews where the faculty member explains how and why they use Blackboard. Knowing what faculty want to achieve leads me to my third rule. Instructional technology should solve a pedagogical problem or create a new student learning opportunity. Before I worked in IT, I was UMBC's PR director and used to work a lot with news media, who I find to be very similar to faculty. Both are innately curious species who are bombarded with too many input channels and demands on their time. The only difference is a reporter's expertise is wide, shallow, whereas a professor's is narrow and deep. In hindsight, I was okay at my job, but I got better when I realized I first needed to pitch stories I knew the reporter was interested in, rather than the press releases my institution wanted me to pitch. It took longer, but I built credibility and trust first, and then used that to slowly try to take the reporter where I thought we had a story with legs. I try to take the same approach with faculty, by first trying to understand where they want to go, and then using their own inertia to help take them there. Sadly, I think some IT staff get tagged with a reputation of being in love with this or that new fad. Do we live up to the stereotype? Eager zealots with a solution in search of a problem? Do we understand what it's like to teach? Can we apply technical knowledge to meet real needs? Do we even listen? Sometimes the best way we build credibility with faculty is to be able to honestly say when using technology might not be appropriate. We need to learn what technology can and can't do, and then honestly share that with the people who come for us with the help in using IT in their teaching. I found the faculty appreciate our candor enough to come back for more, and that's when you know you've hooked them. On the other hand, I've also learned if a faculty member doesn't know the problem he or she is trying to solve, I can't really help. That's when I push back. I'm not saying I won't talk to instructors who don't have answers to these questions, but be careful of the request that goes something like this. Can you show me how to use more technology in my course? This could be a moving target. I want to show the right technology, which they alone can judge by what they want their students to learn. But if faculty aren't intuitively attracted to the problems our technology solves, we may have to provide incentives that grow a critical mass of early adopters who can identify effective practices and influence their peers. That's an added cost of time and money we don't often talk about, but it is essential if we want instructional technology to scale up in the real world of teaching and learning on most campuses. So, given all of these complex and sometimes competing motivations, how should we proceed? Here are some suggestions. Listen for the pedagogical problems faculty want to solve or the new student learning opportunities they want to create. Relate this knowledge to real opportunities afforded by instructional technology, but know what it can and can't do. Help any faculty member who shows interest. Your time with them can plant seeds that lead to bigger wins. Shine light on those who are successful in applying what you've shown them. Ask them to tell their peers how you helped. Respond to inquiries for help versus waiting for them to appear automatically. Always treat a faculty member's peer referral of another colleague to you as manna from heaven. And absolutely always follow up when a faculty member specifically asks for your help. To be clear, my own experiences at influencing faculty and my institution are a work in progress. But the longer I do this work, the clearer I see my role and how I can help. I've found that if faculty can just see an example of how technology might be used, they're often very creative and willing to adapt the technology to their needs, and usually for the benefit of student learning. In closing, let me borrow and adapt a few lines from the Tao Te Ching about true instructional technology leadership. The best technologists are scarcely known by their faculty. The next best are loved and praised. The next are feared. The next despised. They have no faith in their faculty, and their faculty become unfaithful to them. When the best technologists achieve their purpose, their faculty claim the achievement as their own.
J.
John Fritz, Assistant Vice President of Instructional Technology and New Media at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.